Chapter 28. The Caesars Between the Sea and the Great Plains of the Old World. First, a short catalogue of emperors. Second, Roman civilization at its zenith. Third, limitations of the Roman mind. Fourth, the stir of the Great Plains. Fifth, the Western true Roman Empire crumples up. Sixth, the Eastern revived Hellenic Empire. First, Western writers are apt, through their patriotic predispositions, to overestimate the organization, civilizing work, and security of the absolute monarchy that established itself in Rome after the accession of Augustus Caesar. From it we derive the political traditions of Britain, France, Spain, Germany, and Italy, and these countries loom big in the perspectives of European writers. By the scale of a world history, the Roman Empire ceases to seem so overwhelmingly important. It lasted about 4 centuries in all before it was completely shattered. The Byzantine Empire was no genuine continuation of it. It was a resumption of the Hellenic Empire of Alexander. It spoke Greek. Its monarch had a Roman title, no doubt, but so, for that matter, had the late Tsar of Bulgaria. During its 4 centuries of life, the Empire of Rome had phases of divisions and complete chaos. Its prosperous years, if they are gathered together and added up, don't amount in all to a couple of centuries. Compared with the quiet, steady expansion, the security and the civilizing task of the contemporary Chinese Empire, or with Egypt between 4000 and 1000 BC, or with Sumeria before the Semitic conquest, this amounts to a mere incident in history. The Persian Empire of Cyrus, again, which reached from the Hellespont to the Indus, had as high a standard of civilization, and its homelands remained unconquered and fairly prosperous for over 200 years. Its predecessor, the Median Empire, had endured for 50 centuries. After a brief submergence by Alexander the Great, it rose again as the Seleucid Empire, which endured for some centuries. The Seleucid dominion shrank at last to the west of the Euphrates and became a part of the Roman Empire. But Persia, revived by the Parthians as a new Persian Empire, first under the Arsacids and then under the Sassanids, outlived the Empire of Rome. The Sassanids repeatedly carried war into the Byzantine Empire and held the line of the Euphrates steadfastly. In 616 AD, under Chosroes II, they were holding Damascus, Jerusalem, and Egypt, and threatening the Hellespont. But there's been no tradition to keep alive the glories of the Sassanids. The reputation of Rome has flourished through the prosperity of her heirs. The tradition of Rome is greater than its reality. History distinguishes 2 chief groups of Roman emperors who were great administrators. The first of these groups began with Augustus Caesar, 27 BC to 14 AD, the Octavian of the previous section, who worked hard at the reorganization of the provincial governments and at financial reform. He established a certain tradition of lawfulness and honesty in the bureaucracy, and he restrained the more monstrous corruptions and tyrannies by giving the provincial citizen the right to appeal to Caesar. But he fixed the European boundaries of the empire along the Rhine and Danube, so leaving Germany, which is the necessary backbone of a safe and prosperous Europe, to barbarism. And he made a similar limitation in the east at the Euphrates, leaving Armenia independent, to be a constant bone of contention with the Arsacids and Sassanists. It's doubtful whether he considered that he was fixing the final boundaries of the empire along these lines, or whether he thought it desirable to consolidate for some years before any further attempts at expansion. Tiberius, from 14 to 37 AD, is also described as a capable ruler, but he became intensely unpopular in Rome, and it would seem that he was addicted to gross and abominable vices. But his indulgence in these and his personal tyrannies and cruelties didn't interfere with the general prosperity of the empire. It's difficult to judge him. Nearly all our sources of information are manifestly hostile to him. Caligula, 37 to 41 AD, was insane, but the empire carried on during 4 years of eccentricity at its head. Finally, he was murdered in his palace by his servants, and there seems to have been an attempt to restore the senatorial government, an attempt which was promptly suppressed by the household legions. Claudius, from 41 to 54 AD, the uncle of Caligula, upon whom the choice of the soldiers fell, was personally uncouth, but he seems to have been a hard-working and fairly capable administrator. He advanced the westward boundary of the empire by annexing the southern half of Britain. He was poisoned by Agrippina, the mother of his adopted son Nero, and a woman of great charm and force of character. Nero, from 54 to 68 AD, like Tiberius, is credited with monstrous vices and cruelties, but the empire had acquired sufficient momentum to carry on through his 14 years of power. He certainly murdered his devoted but troublesome mother and his wife, the latter as a mark of devotion to a lady, Poppaea, who then married him. But the domestic infelicities of the Caesars are no part of our present story. The reader greedy for criminal particulars must go to the classical source, Suetonius. These various Caesars and their successors and their womenkind were probably no worse, essentially, than most weak and passionate human beings, but they had no real religion, being themselves gods. They had no wide knowledge on which to build high ambitions. Their women were fierce and often illiterate, and they were under no restraints of law or custom. They were surrounded by creatures ready to stimulate their slightest wishes and to translate their vaguest impulses into action. What are mere passing black thoughts and angry impulses with most of us, and became therefore deeds with them. Before a man condemns Nero as a different species of being from himself, he should examine his own secret thoughts very carefully. Nero became intensely unpopular in Rome, and it's interesting to note that he became unpopular not because he murdered and poisoned his intimate relations, but because there was an insurrection in Britain under a certain Queen Boadicea, and the Roman forces suffered a great disaster in 61 AD, and because there was a destructive earthquake in southern Italy. The Roman population, true to its Etruscan streak, never religious and always superstitious, didn't mind a wicked Caesar, but it did object strongly to an unpropitious one. The Spanish legions rose in insurrection under an elderly general of 73, Galba, whom they acclaimed emperor. He advanced upon Rome, carried in a litter. Nero, hopeless of support, committed suicide in 68 AD. Galba, however, was only one of a group of would-be emperors. The generals in command of the Rhine legions, the Palatine troops, and the eastern armies each attempted to seize power. Rome saw four emperors in a year, Galba, Otho, Vitellus, and Vespasian. The fourth, Vespasian, from 69 to 79 AD, from the eastern command, had the firmest grip, and held and kept the prize. But with Nero, the line of Caesars born or adopted ended. Caesar ceased to be the family name of the Roman emperors and became a title, Divus Caesar, the Caesar god. The monarchy took a step forward towards Orientalism by an increased insistence upon the worship of the ruler. Vespasian, 69 to 79 AD, and his sons, Titus, 79 AD, and Domitian, 81 AD, constitute, as it were, a second dynasty, the Flavian. Then, after the assassination of Domitian, came a group of emperors related to one another not by blood but by adoption, the adoptive emperors. Nerva, 96 AD, was the first of this line, and Trajan, in 98 AD, the second. They were followed by the indefatigable Hadrian, 117 AD, Antoninus Pius in 138 AD, and Marcus Aurelius, 161 to 180 AD. Under both the Flavians and the Antonines, the boundaries of the empire crept forward again. North Britain was annexed in 84 AD, the angle of the Rhine and Danube was filled in, and what's now Transylvania was made into a new province, Dacia. Trajan also invaded Parthia and annexed Armenia, Assyria, and Mesopotamia. Under his rule, the empire reached its maximum extent.